Okay, today I want to focus on Hey Gemara, on the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph to top of Hey Amud Beis, which is very, very strange. It's three lines from the bottom. It's also on this sheet. These sheets I took from Ray Clapper. I'm going to add things here and there, but the basic Gemaras are the same. Gemara has this conversation. Tan Rabbana, mi yitain v'haya livavam ze lohem. Okay, this is a pasuk from Dvarim Hey. The full pasuk is mi yitain v'haya livavam ze lohem liyirao si v'shmoras kol mitzvosai kol yamim l'man yitav lehem v'nehem leolam. Who would give? Who would do it such that their hearts would fear God, fear me, right? God's talking, and they would keep my mitzvos all days, right? For all days, so it'll be good for them and their children.
Even Wednesday.
So simple shot in the pasuk. What does the word mi yitain mean?
Who are those?
No.
We'll give.
Is it a question?
Yes.
No.
Oh, it's a rhetorical question.
It's rhetorical. Oh, if only. If only the Jews would keep the Torah for all of eternity. Oh, halavai. Right? If only, if only.
If only the end chumches.
The Gemara makes an interesting comment on this. And he says, Amar lehen Moshe l'Yisrael. Moshe says to the Jewish people, Kfuye tova b'nei kfuye tova. Ingrates the sons of ingrates.
Oh, I've heard this.
What is ingrates?
Ungrateful.
Oh.
Right? And the Gemara makes a drush on it as if it were an actual question. Bishash Amar Kadosh Baruch Yisrael mi yitain. When God said, oh, who could make it that they would keep the Torah for all times? Haya lahem lomar, you should have said, Tainata! God, you're talking. How hard is that for you? Snap your fingers, kivyachal, right? And make us good for all of eternity. Kfuye tova. Dechsev and Avshenu Kotzab Lechem Aklo Kale. Bineik Fuyetova Dechsev Aishash and Asata Imadi Ayanasnali. He Nasnali Mereitva Ochel. And how do I know that you are second generation ingrates? Because Adam Arishan was an ingrate, because he blamed God for sinning, because you gave me Chava, and you guys are ingrates because you don't like the man, which was my present to you. Right? You people are just, I just can't handle you people, right? Generation after generation, you are ungrateful for what God gave you. Okay? That is the, I won't focus on the last two lines. Now, first let me make a small point, and then let's get to the serious issue here. What exactly does it mean to be ungrateful? So Rabbi Yitzi Blau points out in his book, on Agadata, that there seems to be a very subtle machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. This is not on your page, but if you look in the Gemara, I'll read it to you. It's very short. Rashi says, what does it mean to be ungrateful? Kfuye tova, einan makirin lahachzik tova leba'alim. They don't recognize the good that is given to them. That's Rashi. Tosfos says, l'kach karam kfuye tova shal ratzel omar af. He says, no, it's not Kfuye Tova, that they didn't recognize the good that they had been given. What was Kfuye Tova? They didn't want to say, God, make us good people, because then they would have to be thankful. And they didn't want to be thankful. Right? And he notes that there seems to be two very different perspectives. Right? Rashi thinks to be ungrateful is to have already been given good, and to not want to recognize it. Tosfos thinks, right, being ungrateful, right, or the paradigmatic case of being ungrateful is even worse. You don't want someone to do something good for you because you don't want, you have to be thankful, right? You object to the notion of being indebted, right? The notion of indebtedness.
You don't want them to do something nice.
Right, you don't like being indebted to people, right? You don't like being vulnerable. Correct, and that's an interesting sugya. But anyway, that's just a small point. The bigger problem here should jump out at you, right? And here's where we're going to. The question we're going to explore will probably take us 2 weeks. Is that what is the theological problem that emerges from this Agadata, which points to the general question we talked about, which is how seriously can you take Agadatas when they seem to challenge basic tenets of faith? So good. What tenet of faith seems to be challenged by this Gemara.
Free will.
Free will, I would say.
Yay! That should be obvious. Yes, free will, right? What?
Free will.
Raw force.
Nice.
Right? The Gemara says, right, oh, Halevi, you should take away our free will. Make us good forever. Why? Right. Honestly, I have a good answer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. Moshe said to the Jewish people, "You ingrateful brutes." Right. What do you mean? Who? You should have just said, "God, make us perfect." You are evil because you didn't want your free will to be taken away. I'm sorry. Last I checked, right, life is only meaningful because of free will. Right. This is the. Right, with the question the guy asked the Rambam, right at the beginning of Marnevuchem, which
only?
Is why, what?
Only.
If it's only meaningful because of
proof. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, to be only measurable,
but it's not meaningful.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. It's only meaningful.
Well, think about it, then the only, like, you live to, like, whatever means to, like, whatever.
Good. Now, before we deal with this question, we have to raise several other problems, because this is not the only Gemara that introduces the possibility that we might want to get rid of our free will. Right? So the second Gemara, number two, is a very lengthy Gemara, which we will not read all of it. The one thing that's very nice about Red Clapper does things, and that's why I gave it to you from him and Barry had it, is that, right, he actually, right, makes it that you can see how it's a conversation, because he divides each speaker by line. Okay? But a little bit of background. There is a famous character in Tainus named Choni HaMe'agel. Right, Choni HaMe'agel. Well, who is Choni HaMe'agel? Choni the Circle Maker. Good. Why is he famous?
The ring.
Good. Right. He made the rings, and he said, "I won't come out of the ring." He is a miracle worker, right?
What is it?
Right. He says to God, "Right, I will not step out of this ring, right, unless you make it rain." So God makes a drizzle, and the Chachamim say, "Ah, he's only making a drizzle to free you of your promise. That's not real rain." So he steps back in the circle, and he says, "That's not what I meant." So God says, "Torrential downpours." And he says, "That's not what I meant either." Right? So then he sends good rain, but forever, and then everything starts to drown, and then, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
That's crazy.
Good. So his grandson was named Abba Chilkiah, and his grandson was also a miracle worker, and his grandson also was a miracle worker who dealt in rain. Okay, this is the theme. It's a specialty in their family.
A rain miracle worker.
So that is the context of this story. Okay? So, Abba Chilkiah Barbrei de Choni HaMe'agel Ave. Abba Chilkiah was the grandson of Choni HaMe'agel. This is Gemara in Tainus Chav Gimel. And when the world needed rain, for people who really need translations, they printed out a few with translations, and you can turn till, I don't know if you're the lucky one who has translations, I don't know, you have to turn towards and see if you have it, right? I don't know. No, look, I do. Anyways. So Abba Chilkiah, they would come to him, and they would, when they need rain, they would ask him, and he would have rain. Now, Zimnachada Itzrech Amal Mitra. So let me just set up the story. One time they needed rain. So Shadar Rabban and Zuga de Rabban Legabe, let me buy Rachame de Nesi Mitra. So two rabbis went to Abba Chilkiah to ask him to bring rain. Azul Abese Velo Ashkachuhu. So they went to his house, and he wasn't home. Azul Bedabra Vashkachuhu de Have Karafik. So where was he? If you're not at home, where are you?
In the field, Bedabra.
He's working.
He's
working. What is he doing? He's plowing. Okay? It's Martinez. He's what? He's in the field.
What?
Now, here's where we get interesting, because Abba Chilkiah confuses them all with a series of very, very strange practices. So, Havule Shalma v'lo Azra l'Ape b'Panya. Right? They greeted him, and he responded with nothing. Stony silence. Right? He doesn't respond. Right? So, obviously, they are bothered. Right? Why is this big Talmud Chacham, this big Grois et Tzadik, right, not greeting us? So then, he does something else interesting. What does he do? When he was taking his tools, so what did he do? Normally, if you have a cloak and you have tools, where do you put the tools as you're carrying them home?
On your cloak.
On the cloak, right? To soften the blow on your shoulder. Yeah. He did the opposite. He puts the cloak on one shoulder and he puts the tools on the other shoulder. Okay? Kula archa losayim mesane. The whole way he walked barefoot. He didn't put on his shoes. Kimati lamaya, but when he got to the water, see him, Misani, put on his shoes. Which is the opposite of what most people do. Good. Kimati lehizme vihige, delinu lamane. Kimati lamasa. Right now, when he went into the thorn bushes, right, so you go into the thorn bushes and you're wearing shorts, what do?
Put on pants.
Put on pants. So when he went into the thorn bushes, he lifted up the hem so that his skin was exposed. Kimati lamasa. Nafka debitsu lape kimakastra. When he came home, when he was coming home, his wife came out to greet him, dressed in her most beautiful clothing. Kimata levese, when they got home, ala debitsu bereisha. His wife went in before him. Vahadar aile ihu, and then he went in. Vahadar aile rabbanan. Yasi vikarach rifta. He sat down to eat. Vlo amr lulu rabbanan chukruchu, and he didn't invite the rabbis to eat with him. Pala grifta liyinuka lekshisha chada lazutre. Tray, when he was dividing up the bread, he gave the older one half the amount of bread. He gave him one slice of bread and gave the younger one twice. Amrulu the bitza, and then he said to his wife, Yadana de Rabbanu Mishamitra Kaasu, I know that the rabbis are here for rain. Nisikli igra v'nibay rachme. Let's go daven on the roof before they ask us. This way it'll rain, and they won't know it was from us, and they will thank God without thanking us. Sakul igra, so they went to the roof. Kam ihu bechada zivasa, veihi bechada zivasa, zavisa. He stood on one corner, she stood on the other corner. Called them salik anani machzi visit the debitsu, and the rain started from her corner, meaning it started raining by her first. She was answered before he was.
Same thing.
Okay. And then kinachas amarlu amai asur rabbanan. And then when he finished, he came down to the rabbis and he said, "Why are you here? Right? Why are you here?" Amrulay shadlan abon legabei demar divay rachme amitra, and he said, we were sent by the other rabbis to get you to daven for rain. Amrulahu baruch hamakom shel hitzrek etzchem la bechilkia. He said, thank God you didn't need abechilkia. And they say to him, Amrulay yadan amitra machem was marudas. Oh come on, right? We know what just happened. We were watching. We know that the rain came because of you. Okay, but imkvar, and now this is where the story really begins. Oh, no. They said, pray tell, what the heck was going on here? Right? We are so confused. So now I'm not going to read through all of it, but let's go. He said, why didn't you greet us? What did he tell them?
I'm paid
by the hour. It would have been theft for me to waste my time greeting you. He says, okay, why did you put the clothes on one shoulder and the tools dafk on the other one? And he says, because I borrowed these clothing. I borrowed it to work. I didn't borrow it to make my carrying the tools home easier. I'm very honest. He said, okay, why did you put your shoes on only when they were going to get wet? And he says, because when I'm not in the water, I can see what my feet are going to hit. In the water, there are unseen things. I needed to protect my feet. He said, why did you pick up your clothes when you were walking through thorns and you want to protect your feet? He said, look, skin heals. Clothing doesn't heal so easily. Right, my skin, okay, I'll bleed and it'll go away. Big deal. And he goes on like this. But then they ask him the key question and they say, well, why is your wife so much more powerful at tefillah than you? Right, we saw what happened.
Wait, there was different...
There's many things. I'm skipping. Why? You can read it. You want to go through it? Fine. Right? He says, what was I up to? Right, he said, why did your wife come out so well dressed?
Yeah.
Said, so that I wouldn't look at other women. Now, by the way, okay, this is, I will open parentheses for a moment. This is actually a very important line that many rabbis like pointing to, because it actually is quite important. Right? First of all, it recognizes the humanity of the rabbis. Right? He doesn't say, right? I mean, remember, this is Abba Chilkia. This is a miracle worker. This is a Grois Tzadik. Right? And he doesn't pretend that he doesn't have sexual desire. Right? He says, if my wife didn't come out dressed, right, in a way that would attract me, I might look at other women. So my wife, right?
Should attract
me. Right? Right? He doesn't deny his own. Now, more than that, certain poskim note that the Gemara also thinks that a couple's primary obligation is to their own, right, their own marital happiness, even if it might cause problems in other people's marriage. Right? I mean, right, she's clearly walking publicly in a way that is attractive, but the Gemara isn't worried about that. Right? The Gemara thinks that that's okay.
She's in front of all the other rabbis.
Yeah, and the Gemara seems to not have a problem with that, right? She's not doing anything wrong, and so sure, you know, she's allowed to focus on her own marriage. And if that means that someone else has to keep their eyes to themselves, that's their problem, right? That's their problem, right? But she doesn't have to. Right, and therefore, this Gemara is often quoted in the context of people who think that tzniut automatically means that women have to dress in such a way not to draw attention to themselves, right? Because men are usher to look at them. The Gemara tells you that's clearly not the case, right? There's a level of responsibility on men. Okay, good. So then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, "Okay, do we need to go through everyone?
Yes. Oh, with the Aramaic."
What?
No.
Well, which line are we on? I have no idea which line we're on.
Okay, well, so, then the Gemara, skip down.
Mishum.
Fine, you want to read it? Go. Why? Tell me, Chaim.
He's not beating on the bush here.
Good, what else did he say?
Because he didn't know them well.
Good, and he says, okay, why did you go in first? Why did your wife go in first and not you? Because I don't know you. Right, you don't let strange men into your house before your wife. Right, that's not a right thing to do. My wife goes in, then I'll come in, and then if you're sketchy, right, I'll be inside to deal with it. Right, fine. So then he says, why do you give the older one one piece of bread and the younger one two? Right, doesn't the older one need to eat more? He says, that's very nice, but the older one stays at home. The younger one's in school. Right, or the other one eats all day. Right, if he's hungry, he just takes from the closet. Right, he takes from the pantry. Right, my younger one, this is his meal. Say good. So then he said, I want you to know. Okay, so why is your wife, right? Why does your wife, my time, three lines from the bottom. My time, kadum soluk anonameach zavisa davis kaima debitsu demar la anonadide. Why did your wife get answered first? Why did the clouds gather by your wife first? So he says, so possibility one is mishum ditsa shchicha bevesa viyava riftalani makarvani asavani evne zuzav la makarvani asa. One is that she does stucca better than me. She's home, so when a poor person comes to the door, he gives her food. She gives him food. But I can only give them money because I'm not home. Which means that her stock is more direct. What's more important than the second one? Inami, hani biryoni dahavi bishivivusan. There were these barbarians in my neighborhood. Ano bairachami dilamitsu. My natural response was to daven to God that they should die. Which is a bit scary because if someone has that type of power with this tefillah that he can make rain, I wouldn't want that person davening that I would die. Right? Fine. Vihi by Rachme de la Hadri Bitiufta Vahadru. My wife was smarter than I am, and she davened that they should do tshuva, and that's what happened. So that's Gemara 2. Right? He davened for someone to do tshuva, and that is legitimate. Now, maybe I'll skip for a moment to number 5. There's a Gemara that's probably more famous. Where else did this happen? Who else did that? Rameir and his wife,
yeah.
Right, number 5. This is a much more famous Gemara. Brachos Daf Yod. Hani biryune dahave bishivivusi de Rameir vavikametzare leituva. There were these barbarians, right? That lived near Rameir and they drove him nuts. Havakabay Rameir rachme laveki echid lemitzu. Rameir daven that they should die. Amrle Buria de Bitsu. So Buria, his wife, said to him, "My daitach, what are you thinking? Mishum dechsev yitamu chataim." Because it says that yitamu chataim, are you reading that as sinners should cease from existence? It doesn't say miksev chotim, it doesn't say sinners, it says chataim, which can either be sinners or sins. Truth is that that's grammatically wrong. Rashi and the Pasuk interprets it like Rameir, but whatever, it's not the point. Chataim ksev, says sins. Va'od shvila sefi dekra. And it says at the end of the Pasuk, Rishom orinam, there'll be no more Rishayim. Said Kevin the Atmu Chatoim Rasham Arinam, what? A few sinners die and there's no more evil in the world? What you should always be doing is davening that people should do tshuva. Rasham Arinam. And if all evil people do tshuva, there will be no evil people. Right now, because they're dead, because they're not evil anymore. Right? So you have two Gemaras that are almost identical, where the Gemara encourages the way of dealing with Rishayim is daven for them to do tshuva. Mm-hmm. Which again raises the problem, well,
free will.
Yeah, isn't that a bit odd? Right? How are you able to do that? How can you daven for someone to do tshuva? Now you got this in number 4 as well. Good, you want to read it? Go ahead, Chaim, read it. You have the English, you can read it. Go ahead.
No. Go, read.
Read it.
I don't even know the first word.
Chaim, you like it.
You want to do it in English? Go ahead.
No, do it.
Go ahead. Do you have the English?
No.
Come on.
Riune Dehava Bishi Vuse.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, good. So there was there were these Biryona in the neighborhood of Rizera. And Rabbi Zera used to makarav l'chech and angelo b'tiyuftov and come to Rabban, and he, right, was he would try to get them, right? He would befriend them to try to make them do tshuva. What? Yeah. Hinach nafshi the Rizera amri ana idna v'charichei katan sakei davi bayal and rachamei hasun bayal and rachamei said until now Rabbi Zera used to daven for us, but now he's going to daven for us. Right, they said literally the little one because Zera means small. Yes. See, you didn't realize that. You didn't realize the pun. No, it's a pun. Yeah, but it's also a pun on the word Zera, which means small. Right. There was a reason that my friends punned on the word with my name. Right. Not just because it sounds alike, but because it means small. Right.
Oh,
it means small. No, because I am 5'1".
No, but what did
right? And Zera. Right? Well, sounds like Zera. Yes. One of my chavrus is writing to doing a Ze'iring, which is just a pun, right? Which includes the Aramaic for small, right? But now they said there's no one to daven for us, so who's going to daven for us? So here, Rubili Bayev, of the Tshuva. So they davened of their own accord, right? Sorry, they thought Tshuva of their own accord, and they did Tshuva.
Who's the small one? Is that supposed to be
Zera? Zera, right? It was a pun on his name, right? He may have also been short, but that was his name.
Who died that,
Rubi Zera. Right, so when he died, the people that he used to daven for, right, to try to make them do tshuva, he was no longer alive, so now they did tshuva of their own accord. Okay?
Okay.
Let's see, do we have to do all of them?
There's a lot of talk of these barbarians.
Yes. Okay, let's skip for a moment. Yeah, let's do the Gemara in Brachos. Let's skip the Gemara in Ksuba. It's okay. The Gemara in Brachos. Nun Zayin says, Tan Rabbanan Aro Markolos Omer Baruch Shanasan Erech Habayim Over Eretzono. So we say, if you see Markolos, you say, you make a bracha. Blessed is God who has patience for those who violate his will because he's allowing these idolaters to live. If you see a place where idolatry has already been uprooted, you say, Baruch Sha'akar Avodas Kochavim Me'aretzeinu. Right? Blessed is God who got rid of Avodah Zarah. And then you add, Ukeshem Shenekram Makom Zeh Kein Te'akar B'chol Mikom Yisrael. And you say, just like Avodah Zarah was uprooted from here, it should be uprooted from all places in Israel. V'hashev Lev Avdehem Lo'avdecha. And those who worship the idol should return to you. Again, what's the problem?
Free will.
We seem to be davening. Now, remember, I could go on. But let's be beyond the Gemaras. Right? This notion of we daven free will to do tshuva, right?
It's crazy.
We also incorporate in our tshuva, in our tefillah, whether it be in everyday Ashivenu, yeah. Or think about it, right? This during Yom Narayim, what do we daven?
We should all...
Yeah, but we ask that God should make it if you will come back. Right, we'll come back to God. And the question that bothered not just Bali Machshava, but what? But poskim was poskim. Was are you allowed to do this? Right? Are you allowed to daven for people to do tshuva? Does this right? Is this?
What would the issue be?
What would the issue be?
I mean, is it a bada we can because it's part of the set davening?
Good. So now tell me So now let's. So before we look at the answers, right? So tell me. Let's deal with the potential theological problem here, right? What problem might there be, and how could we theoretically solve it?
We say that, yeah.
Good. So if you understand these kipshutam, that it means that they're davening to take away free will, so then it's a problem.
Yeah.
Assuming you believe in free will, which we do, right? Kol b'dei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim. It's one of the ikarei emunah in the Rambam. Right. So it's relatively important. Good. So how might you deal with the potential problem?
We can say that, God makes the situation that makes it easier.
Good. Yeah. So one is to say that, to interpret it as not meaning you're going to take away free will, but that you're going to create situations in which it will be easier for people to exercise their free will in a positive way, meaning you're not taking away, but I'm not opposed to saying that God makes situations that are easier and harder, right? We still have free will. Good. That's one possibility. What's another one?
That was pretty good.
The fact that the Mitshuva was the one that made the Mitshuva itself.
What?
What?
Once you heard that someone was dabbing in the Mitshuva, they decided they wanted the Mitshuva.
It's not clear they knew that he did it, but you could say something like that, right? Meaning, you could say that it's not a situation, it's, maybe give, right, I'm davening, right? I mean, you could say in some of these, you could say that it's the very act of davening for someone to do tshuva is meant to inspire them or something, right? But another, at least in Rabbi Zeira's case, that's true. But another formulation might be, right, this don't take away their free will, but...
give them kapara.
Maybe kapara. That doesn't sound that way, because, right, kapara wouldn't make the annoying barbarians stop bothering him. It would just make it that they wouldn't be punished in heaven. Right. Right, what else might it be? Think.
I'm waiting for the take away the free will. That's got to be in there.
Good. So one possibility is, that's okay. That's fine. Right? No, so you're right. You could say, what's the problem? Right? The Rambam says that it's possible that under certain circumstances, someone who's been evil enough...
they take a scar for it.
Right. So you could say, it's not a big deal, right? The Rambam opens that possibility. Right? It says, there's no problem. Right? Yeah. That with saying that someone doesn't have free will, it's only a problem with saying that someone would have schar v'onesh after they've lost their free will.
Right.
Good. So maybe you're saying, take away their free will, and from now on, so they won't, you're right, they'll burn in Gehenna. That's my problem, but in this world, they'll be good people. Right?
Right? That's better than death.
But the problem is, it does seem a bit strange, right? That doesn't seem the implication of Gemara. Right?
Also, seems better than death. It seems like it's...
yeah, it doesn't seem that way, right?
It's like sadistic.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It doesn't seem great. Okay, what else? What else might it mean? There are different formulations, right? Similar to make a situation in which the person might want to do tshuva. What else might it be? Don't force him, but give him hirurei tshuva. Right? Meaning... give him a petach in his mind. Right, not create a situation. It could be. Give him the first thoughts of tshuva. Whether they actually take advantage of it is up to them. But give them a petach in their head.
Well, they have to know about the tshuva then.
No. Meaning God, please. Don't take away their free will. I mean, you could do a different formulation.
Right, just give them the...
now, there's another distinction that might be made, which is between cases where... right, there are two different types of gemaras here. And we have to be careful. Right? You, Eli, took it kedavar pashut, that tefila is a problem, except what, right, has to deal with this theological problem, but it's not clear, because when you daven, what are you saying?
Return us.
Shveinu avinu l'zerasecha. Now, when it's you, it might be a little bit less problematic for one of many reasons. One might be...
meant to affect you by you saying.
Yeah, right. One is that you're just trying to inspire yourself. You're not asking God to take away your free will. Or you're asking God to put you in situations that are easier. Right? But there's another very fundamental distinction between you davening for yourself and you davening for somebody else.
Your marriage shouldn't affect what he gets.
You say again?
Your marriage shouldn't affect what he gets, but your marriage...
right, meaning if you use your own free will to daven to God and say, look, God, I really want to do the right thing, but it's hard for me. Help me take away my free will. Even if God took away your free will, the act of asking God to take away your free will was an expression of your free will. So is not as egregious a violation of free will
it's like
as...
drunk driving.
What?
It's like the opposite of drunk driving.
Sure, the opposite of drunk driving.
Decision to...
drunk tshuva. Great.
Drunk?
No, I understand. Then, yeah. Right, meaning you're being... right, there you're being held responsible for being putting yourself in a situation where you can't be held responsible. Right, in a chanami, once you're drunk, right, totally,
right,
but why do you put yourself in that situation, right? Give someone else your keys, right? So here, it's in a chanami. So from now on, you won't get rewarded, but the act of saying to God, now, which Gemara seems the best to fit with that last formulation?
Finest.
No, our Gemara. Majazara. Where Moshe said, you ingrate, God asked you, who's going to ensure that you keep the Torah forever? You should have said to God, God, please, we're ready. We really want to serve you.
Right, that would be a decision.
Right, that would have been very I mean, that would have been a perfect time to say it. Now, the amazing thing about this Gemara, and it'll probably spill over next week. I don't know how we'll see. I don't know if it'll be too full shiurim. Is that this was actually posed as a halachic question, right? This was posed as a halachic question, and this is you skip to page 3 to number 8.
You can daven for other people.
What? Yes. So this was posed to the Me'il Tzedakah. Who is the Me'il Tzedakah? Who is the Me'il Tzedakah?
Where is it?
See, the guys who have the English, it's actually there, but what's, I think it is.
Rabbi Yonah Landsofer.
Good. Landsofer, yes. Landsofer. Yes, so he's a contemporary of the Noda Behuda. His Tshuvot are often quoted in Hilchos Nida, and several other areas of Halacha, but in particular in Hilchos Nida, for some reason, the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch quote him left, right, and center. He does have, but whatever, he was a prominent Posek. I don't know if he was grade A Posek, like Noda Behuda, but he was, he's quoted often in Shulchan Aruch. What?
How do we grade these?
I told you, the Noda Behuda, I told you. Well, everybody else in the time of the Noda Behuda was routinely referred to as Harav Hagon. He was Harav Hagon Nasi Yisrael Mofei Shador. Right? That's called...
He got more names.
Right? Yeah, he got Rosh Kabahag, you know. Fine.
Yeah, okay.
He's grade 1 posek, right? Me'il Tzedakah is an important posek. So he got this Shaila. Okay? So here's the question. Beir Izmir. He got this the following shaila. Yotza echad midato ledar acheret. Somebody converted. He apostatized from Judaism to Christianity or some other religion. I assume Christianity is in Europe, in Christian Europe.
Daniel's like, yeah.
Vilakach gam kein imo bino katan, and he took his son with him. Vinistap gusham. This is an amazing shaila. I can't believe anyone ever asked this, but okay. V'nistaf gusham im rasham achir mispal alav. And the people came from Me'il Tzedakah and they said, are we allowed to daven for him to do tshuva? She'achziru Hashem la'avodaso v'yitin b'libo la'shuv b'tshuva shlema. Ad shlo neida she'ayotzeu posech pezo v'hir tshuva b'libo lo. Right? You are allowed to daven that he should do tshuva, or at least that a Pesach should be made in his heart that he should do tshuva. So he says, I have two shailas. He said, there are two questions you have to deal with. Tshuva. Trichim anu l'amod b'dinzel shnei sveiko. Now again, I gave you Rai Klapper's sheet just because you can see, right? It's not just one block of text. It's a bit of a long tshuva, but you can see it formatted. One problem is, im ya'asor l'ispal kazet demechse ketfila shav. He said, there's two theological problems with this. Right, what are they? What are the two theological problems? Let's see if you can figure it out. One you've already dealt with, which is? Well, let's be careful. One is? Yeah, he said there's two problems. Right, one is, should God be able to do that? Right? Two is, if God can't do it, is it a tefila shav? Right, there's an issur against davening things that are tefila shav. Right, what's the Gemara's example? So a woman's already pregnant. You can't say, God, make the child in her womb a boy or a girl. If she's not pregnant yet, you can, because it's b'derech hateva. But to daven, once the...
Isn't there a midrash there?
Yes, there is. And that midrash is in tension with that Gemara. But the Gemara said that's called tefila shav. And don't say, or for example, the Gemara says, you hear somebody crying, right? If someone died, you can't say, please God, make that not be coming from my house. Because either it did or it didn't. Right? It's a tefila shav in the past. So he says, I have two problems. There's two levels to this problem. Im Yasser is Falka said the Mexic Kitvila Shav Shakol Bide Shamaim Khutmir Shamaim Shamas Shem the Khirzan of Shilaman, yes, Karbonish Baalam. First of all, is this impossible such that it is a worthless tfila? Right? And therefore it's Asr Mitzad Tfila. Right? Meaning it's Asr Mitzad Tfila.
But
this is a very halachic answer. Right? This is a very halachic way of looking at it. Right? Ignore the theological problem. If it's theologically impossible, is this also halachically because it's a tefila shav? Two. Second is the theological problem. Is should we even be getting involved in theological issues, or is this God's problem? Right? Meaning, why do we care? Right? Hani kivshid rachman alam alok. You're not in charge of reward and punishment. Why do you care whether he does tshuva? Vim lafanav hagan lashivo yashivenu vim lav lav. Right? It's two levels. One is the theological problem, another one you thought. Right? One is, if God can do it, so why are you getting involved? If God wants to, he'll do it. If not, not. Right? In English, we call this standing. 1 second. Good. So these are... This is why it's a fascinating tshuva. Good. You're right.
Good tshuva.
You're right. Exactly. He said, first question, let's reverse the questions. The first question, and she was right, this is a question about tefillah in general.
Why,
tshuva, good job. Why do you care? Let go, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. If it's possible, so leave it up to God. Now, so now he answers Shua's question because he says, what's the nafkamina? What we call in English, standing. What's standing? In legal terms, what is standing?
Like a weight.
No. In legal terms, and this is something that is true in America but not in Israel. You can no. Standing is, I can only bring a lawsuit against somebody if I can prove that it's relevant to me. Right? I can't sue someone for hurting Zev if I can't prove why I'm a party to this crime. In Israel, it's not true. In Israel, part of the reason the legal system is so messed up is because you don't need proof standing. You can sue anyone at any time for any reason, really? Even if you're not relevant.
There's more,
including the government.
There's more room to sue someone here than in America.
Here you could sue people for no reason all the time. You can sue the government for something they did to somebody else. And this happens all the time. And you can bring to the Supreme Court. Right? No problem.
You could win that case.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. People do it all the time. All the time.
Can you give an example?
Yes, like every time that these NGOs sue against Yishuvim or whatever for encroaching on Palestinian privately owned land, right? In America, you couldn't do that unless the person who owned the privately owned land went to the NGO and said, I want you to represent me. In Israel, they don't have to. They just look around, they say, oh, in 1920, this was owned by a Palestinian family. They don't know about it. They don't care about it. Right? We are bringing a lawsuit against the government for... allowing people to build on privately owned land. You can do that.
What do they do to
them? How did they get money?
They rip down houses. And if they win, they'll destroy the house.
How could they get money?
They don't. They'll sue and say, I want you to destroy the house. Because it's illegal. In Israel, you can do that all the time. So the first issue that the Mil Saga says is standing. Now, Shua will say, what about the rest of Tefillah? No, normally... regular tefillah, you have standing. You turn to God and say, please, help me, help my loved ones, because I care. Here, he's saying, maybe when it comes to spiritual matters about some random guy in the city who apostatized, you have no standing. Leave it to God. If he cares, he cares. If not, not. That's question one. Right? Meaning, so question one, to formulate it differently, is, do you need standing in tefillah? And question two is, assuming that God won't take away somebody's free will... is this tefillah shav? Now the question he's obviously going to have to answer, and this is funny, sort of the way halacha works, is the bigger theological question, which is, can God take away someone's free will? Is a prat that he discusses derech agav to answer his halachic question, which is this a tefillah shav? But to know whether or not it's a tefillah shav, meaning is this a worthless tefillah, he has to answer a theological question. But that's like saying, right?
Take a factual thing.
Yeah, right? Meaning it's like saying, right. It's like someone saying, I'm going to try to figure out whether or not God exists because someone asked me that he made a neder that depends on whether God exists. Right? I don't care about whether God exists. I care about whether God exists because maybe the neder will be chal. Right? So that's essentially what happens in this tshuva. The Mil Saga says, I care about whether God can take away people's free will because I care about whether it's a tefillah shav, right? Whether it's a worthless tefillah to ask God to take away free will. So mimela, I have to deal with this big theological question and I have to get into this theological question only because it's a prat katan and a halachic challenge, tefillah shav. Okay, so next week we'll see what he does with it. Right? But this becomes like the touchstone for like later poskim to try to figure out, right? Is this a problem, right? They deal with the theological question, everything came out, and much of the discussion hangs on this Gemara, right, in Avodah Zarah, plus those other Gemaras that are very related to it, okay? So we'll continue with that next week.